You know, the Christian faith is balanced. It's balanced between individual concerns and group concerns. It's not like, if it gets out of hand where it's like just always the group and not the individual life, then it gets messy. It's just not right. So it's like we begin with personal faith. We have a personal faith in God. But God wants us to participate in congregational faith, like this group together. And it's really great because here's the best illustration right now is the communion table. We all participated in it. We participated in the Lord's Prayer together. We do the Apostles' Creed usually. We haven't done it this week, but we usually do it. We read, though, together the Word of God in that beautiful, beautiful song of speaking forth God's praises. And it's like that. Those are all congregational things. So God calls us to that. Jesus calls us each personally. He calls us each personally as lost sheep to follow Him. But how we follow Him is in a flock of sheep, right? And it's all these things point to a balance. He gives His personal attention to us. You know, He focuses on each personal believer. Individually, He focuses on and gives us His attention, His personal attention. But He has a special attention, a special presence for us when we meet together. As it says, He promised in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three come together in My name, I am there with them." In a special way. He's always with us, but He's in us with a special way when we come together. And one way that Jesus manifests Himself when we meet together is by our mutual sharing together. And in the ways that we just did through the communion table, but then in other ways, as we had at the very beginning of the service, the sharing time, He not only indwells each member individually, He indwells us, each member in the body of Christ, the church, but He wants to speak through each of us. He wants to speak through each of us. Look at this text again. This is the one that's on the worship folder as our text today. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, just two verses. Through Jesus, that's important. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Jesus delights in times of worship where believers share their hearts. He does. It says it right here. He is happy about it. It pleases Him. He's delighted in it. And that's more or less the theme of what is going on here. But I want to look at it a little more closely. Part of our mutual sharing, this mutual sharing is not just praising God in song, but praising God with our individual voices. Christians are described in Scripture as a kingdom of priests. We are called a kingdom of priests. And part of our priestly ministry is offering through Jesus. Now, He's our high priest. We offer through Jesus a sacrifice of praise. That's what this verse says, a sacrifice. Now, when the Old Testament priests offered sacrifices, they offered things called burnt offerings. And it says about burnt offerings, it was called a pleasing aroma to the Lord by fire. A pleasing aroma. It was a tangible form of praise and worship. And it was both an attitude that you had to have the right attitude when you came before the Lord, but it was an attitude, but it was also an action. It was active. It was something they were actually doing, an active participation. And Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament sacrifices for sin. He fulfilled those. They were offerings that were for sin sacrifices. But what we fulfill, what He wants to fulfill in His body, are the other offerings. The offerings that were called the peace offerings, the shalom offerings, or the free will offerings, that they didn't have to offer them, but they wanted to please him, so they did offer these things. And that's we fulfill that by our sacrifice of praise in our worship time or sharing time. Well, what makes praise a participation, a participatory act of worship? What makes it that? Well, first of all, it's a confession of our faith. It has to be in the heart first. It's on the internal, the personal, the individual. But when we confess it, it becomes a declaration, it becomes a proclamation, it becomes a public thing. Everybody else can listen to it too, not just you. So it's like a declaration, the fruit of lips, not just in the heart, the fruit of the heart, the fruit of saying something with your mouth, with your lips, lips that confess his name. Now, confessing Jesus is how we got into this. How we got saved was confessing Jesus. It says in Romans 9 and 10, I remember this when I was a little kid, this verse, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's interesting. You know, confessing with our mouth comes before believing in your heart. Why did he put that in the front? It's because God's really interested in communication. If he wasn't interested in communication like he is, we wouldn't have this. And Jesus wouldn't have come to talk to us and teach us. And he's interested in that, and he's interested in when we become followers of him, to follow him really, and to be communicators, you know, to share, to declare our faith. But this confessing of Jesus is also an ongoing declaration, a verification of our faith. In Matthew it says this, and some people will tremble a little bit at this, the chapter, but this is not something to be fearful of. It's Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, Jesus is telling his disciples this, or the people he's teaching, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now, some people might look at that and say, ooh, that's a little bit threatening. That's frightening a little bit. You know, Jesus won't deny me? And, you know, Peter did. He did deny the Lord, and he recovered from that. But what Jesus is actually doing here is giving us a self-test. It's something we can test ourselves. How authentic is my faith? Is it something that I'm willing to share about and talk to others about? You know, when we talk to other people, we talk about different things that we're interested in, something, a new movie we saw, a new book we read, what's happening in the news, it's of interest, and we share that kind of thing. But this is the greatest news. The fact that Jesus, the creator of the world, would become a human being and then end up dying for our sins, and then also coming into our hearts to live with us for all of our lives. That's the greatest news in the world. It's something to talk about. And so confessing him is really important. It says it's not a superficial faith, it's an authentic faith when it's being shared like that. And then as our faith relationship grows, because Peter needed some help, he needed some time, he needed the Holy Spirit actually. We do have the Holy Spirit, but we're also growing. We're growing as Christians in our relationship with God, and as we grow, we're going to be more perceptive. We'll have our perception of his activity in our lives is going to become greater. It's going to grow as well. We'll say, that was the Lord. We might have gone on and saying, oh, I don't know what happened to that. That was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, wow. But we didn't recognize it was the Lord. That as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we say, yeah, that was his hand doing that. Wow. That was Jesus. Let me tell somebody about that. You know? And that's what we need to have, that attitude. By turning our perception of what he's doing into the fruit of lips that confess his name. It could just stay there. In our hearts we say, wow, that was Jesus. But he wants it to become the fruit of lips, not just in our hearts. You say, I really love what he just did. Now I need to let it become the fruit of my lips that confess his name. And then we can make a real verbal sacrifice of praise during our worship time together. So participating in the Old Testament sacrifices, in the Old Testament worship with the sacrifice, it required some effort. It did. And the New Testament making a sacrifice of praise in the New Testament worship, which we're doing right now, that also means some effort. Spontaneous praise just comes to the top of your head during a church service. Spontaneous praise is always welcome. It's always welcome, and it's acceptable. But there's a deeper form of praise and of testimony, a different kind of testimony. It's a little bit deeper, and it involves learning maybe some new habits, some new spiritual disciplines that will assist us in the next point here I'm going to talk about. Gathering blessings to share with others. How do we gather blessings to share with others? If that's one of the things that we want to please God with in our lives, it may be a new step, a new dimension, that we're taking a step of faith into a new dimension of our lives where we're going to be intentional about this. I'm going to bless the body of Christ. I'm going to bring a blessing by sharing it with each other in the church service, because we do have that. There's some church services that don't have that. But you know what? If you read it all in the New Testament, you find out about it. It's all over, and it's in the Psalms, and it's in the New Testament church services where people were sharing together, not just pulpit to pew. That's more of a, if you really want to know it, that's more of a Greek thing that got adopted into the church. But basically, the sharing time is so important to the body of Christ, because we're all edifying one another. So, gathering blessings to share with others. We do please God when we share what comes to our mind during a church service. I think that's wonderful. But God actively blesses our lives all week long with a miracle every day. This is my miracle for the day, or whatever. You know, he blesses us all week long, 7 days a week. All week long, God is blessing us, so we need to be mindful. We need to be mindful of his blessings and be looking for them in the normal daily activities of our lives, the ordinary things that are going on, the ordinary routines. God is going to be blessing us there. So to maintain this awareness that God is bringing things into our lives, he's blessing our lives, we need to watch for these blessings. We need to be watching for them, because they come in various ways and in various forms. And we need to be gathering them as they come. You know, if you're walking down a path in a, you know, you're supposed to be gathering fruit, and you see all these berries, but you've got an empty bucket, and you say, "Ooh, aren't these beautiful berries?" And you walk right by them. No, you've got to stop them. You put them in the bucket so you can take them home and others can appreciate them in the pies you're going to bake. By the way, we're open to anybody who wants to bake pies. So we need to watch for them. One good place to gather blessings is in our daily quiet time. And everybody should have one. Just a time when you start your day, or it could be in the middle of the day. It doesn't matter when you have it, but you need to have it as a habit where you get into that place where you're listening, you're having a quiet time, you're maybe reading the Word or whatever. Just that quiet time where we can meditate on God's Word. Have part of that quiet time needs to be God's Word. And maybe to get, what do you want to say to me today, God, you know, through your Word? You know, it says in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." It's practical. God's word is practical for us when we walk through this life, to have his light, divine light, on our pathway so we won't trip up. And that's why it's important for us to have that Bible as part of our quiet time. And then another blessing is to sense his voice by listening prayer. When you're praying, not just praying, what can I pray, think about to pray for? Well, why not just be quiet and be silent and be listening? Because, you know, We expect God to listen to us when we pray. We hope He's listening. We expect Him to because He's promised to. But what about us? Aren't we going to do the same thing and be listening to His, not His prayer, but what He's asking us to do? Or what He's going to share with us? Maybe He's going to share something about the Bible. Maybe He's going to give us some guidance. I think guidance is a wonderful thing. It blesses my heart when the Lord speaks to me that way. But we need to have to, in order to do that, we have to learn this inner habit of stillness and inner silence. And maybe we need to just read some books on that. There are a lot of books on that that help us with that. One of them is Practicing the Presence of God. When I mentioned last week, or last time I preached, Brother Lawrence's book. And then there's another thing. All creation praises God. All creation praises the Creator. So if we really think about that as we go out into nature, as we see natural things, we can be looking for how is God being praised through these things of His creation, His nature that He's created. And as we recall those things, we can sort of hide them in our hearts and talk about them. I think it's wonderful when we share about nature. I love it. It's beautiful. And Jesus used nature in a lot of His parables. And then there's another place. And that is not just having a quiet time, but having some devotional reading. Maybe a book that you are... I think your hearing aid's falling out. Maybe there's a book that you've latched onto and you don't want to read it all at once. You want to read a little bit at a time. Sometimes it's best to read books that way. But some devotional books are written that way. And they just give you some things. Now, here's one thing it does do for you. It might bless your heart. You might even want to bring what blessed your heart and bring the devotional book to the church service and read from it. But it also shows you that somebody else learned how to collect their blessings and write them down, share them with you, and you're getting a blessing from them. Now, you can do that too. And sometimes it takes a pen and paper when you're having a blessing to write it down. And you don't have to, let's see, what did I do last week? You just got it in your hand and you say, here's what the Lord shared with me last week, and you read it. Now that's another way of doing it. And it's more or less like the devotional reading. And sometimes people do get really blessed in their devotional readings, and that's what they share here. That's wonderful. So we can't always remember. Our memories are poor. We can't always trust them to remember and retain the things that we need to share. So sometimes it's you know, some people say, I don't remember what to pray for. I need a prayer list. And they write prayer lists down. Those are important. But maybe we also need praise lists. Not just prayer lists, but, oh, praise list. Here's a praise. I need to share that next week. Have a praise list instead of just a prayer list. You know, memo pads are helpful. I always have a memo pad or something. I use my smartphone a lot when I come up with an idea or just a thought comes to me. I write it down on a little notebook app that's on the smartphone. But I tell you what, sometimes poems, quotes, thoughts have come to me in the middle of sleep. And I've had to wake myself up to write them down. And you know, it's like, I got to get this written down. I know I'm asleep. I got to wake up. And I'll grab the nearest thing and write it down. And then I'll forget about it. And I wake up in the morning. Oh, now I remember that. That would have been part of like a dream or something. But that's me, okay? That might be you too. I don't know if you have dreams and things. But I've had many of the poems that I write in my poem books are out of dreams. They actually are poems in dreams. It's amazing. Well, anyway, you need sometimes your memory to record your blessings. To keep them in memory, you need to use a little bit of help, a notepad or something. Record your blessings from the previous week so that you can bring them and share them with us at church because it's so important. And why it's important is this last point that I'm going to talk about. It delights God. This is what this verse is talking about. This makes God happy. This pleases Him. He's delighted when He hears us sharing the blessings that we have received from Him. He wants us to share them. And why it delights God is that it multiplies those blessings. They're not just stuck in one spot. They're actually shared, and they're made even to be more blessings out of that one blessing. So generosity is the focus of verse 16. It says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. Now, that's talking about generosity. Whatever you have in your abundance, you share with the needy. You know, that's talking about generosity. But the thing of it is, it's in the context of verbal sharing. It's saying the sacrifice of praise with the fruit of lips. And now it goes into the next verse and it talks about sharing, and it calls it with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We're talking about verbally sharing at this point in this verse. Even though it's in a general way, it's talking about generosity. So this means giving from the abundance of what God has blessed us with during the week and or in our lifetime. It's something we think way back when God did something in our life and we're sharing that testimony and giving God glory for it 20, 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later. It may be that that blessing is stuck way back there in our memories will surface, and if it does come to you during the week, that was a wonderful time God gave me back then. Let me write that down to share that at church, because you can take that 50-year-old blessing that nobody's getting blessed from it anymore and make it a brand new one for a lot of people to be blessed. Anyway, that's one of the things, sharing with, because when God has done something in our lives that has been good and it's lifted our spirits, He can multiply that blessing. It's through Jesus that we do this. He can multiply that blessing's impact by when we share it with others. Now, Paul prays a really interesting prayer for the believers in Rome in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Here's what it says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a really, really neat blessing. It's overflow. You see, by sharing our joy and peace that we've received as a blessing from God, sharing those joy, that joy and peace, that blessing of praise, we give it back to God. We give it. It's like we're offering it as a sacrifice of praise to God when we share it with others who may be a little short on hope. Their hope may need a lift. You don't know what's in the heart of your brothers and sisters. You don't know what they've gone through during the week. And maybe they're not sharing all the trials they've been through during the week. But that hope is maybe what they need. And the Lord has made to overflow through the Holy Spirit, and that's through Jesus as we share it, multiplies that blessing. And this kind of sharing from our hearts is also the heart of what the Bible calls koinonia, fellowship. On our worship folders, it says the word, fellowship, and prayer. That should really be it. That should really manifest in our church service, the fellowship, and the sharing is part of that. And when we do this, when we share that way, this koinonia, Jesus delights in it because He gets to be involved more directly. You see, He wants to speak through us. And all of this is through Jesus, let us continually offer up. Through Jesus, He wants to do more communication. He's not done yet. You know, my sermon series that I'm not really done with on Acts is all about Jesus is not done yet. He's got lots of stuff He wants to do. And we're part of what that is. And so His enemies tried to silence Him. They wanted to stop His voice. But His voice has been multiplied in the mouths of His people. And it needs to be manifested. So I believe that Jesus likes to be present. He likes it when he's among us. We gather in His name and He's here with us. He likes that. But I think He delights in a very special way in our times of worship. When we share our praises of God's blessings in our lives with others. It says in this verse again, He wants to get involved through Jesus. It's through Jesus we do this. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And always remember that what this whole thing of sharing is about, it's not just about us. We're trying to please our Lord. We're trying to make Him happy. We want Him to be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, what did I do? Well, all those blessings that I gave you, you multiplied them. You multiplied them. You gave them to a whole bunch of other people. And they all got blessed. And guess what? A few of them multiplied them again. They shared it with other people. And so it really spread around. You never know where what one of those little things that you drop, in that little drop in the ocean, it seems like, the big ocean, that's my little drop. That little drop, the molecules are going to spread everywhere, you know? And that's what it does sometimes. God spreads His and multiplies His blessings. So it makes Him happy. It makes Him happy because He's hearing us do this. He's among us and He's listening to it. And He's whatever He's shown us, we're able to maybe bless others with. It multiplies those blessings, but it also strengthens our bond of fellowship together. That really makes Him happy because He wants His church to be one. Because that's the manifestation of His glory. Our oneness is a manifestation of His glory to this earth. It speaks to this earth. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for these two verses that are powerful verses. We want them to be active in our lives, and we do want to have rich times of sharing together the blessings that You've blessed us with personally, sharing them congregationally so that we might bless others. And yes, perhaps those blessings will be carried on to others that they will share as well. And Your word and Your testimony and Your glory will be spread even further. We thank You for this little church. It is little, but it's like a little lighthouse. And we ask, Father God, that Your light would shine here stronger and stronger in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.